With society's endless expectations upon you and mental health and anxiety issues on the rise, finding your true authentic self can be challenging. Being your true self is a key and never a mistake, because you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically. Join Dr. Kim R. Grimes as she creates a safe space and initiates influential conversations about you being you. Listen to discussions featuring step-by-step guides, techniques, and principles that you can sink your teeth into about uncovering your greatness, triggering a mindset shift, and living beyond your limiting beliefs. The time to connect with who you were created to be and fall madly, in love with you starts now. Here's your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, that's my way of saying hello and welcome back to You Are You Unapologetically, the show where we explore the real, the raw, and the powerful journey of being you and owning our own truth. That's it. I am your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes, and today we're diving deep into a topic that I know will resonate with every single listener. That's right, every single listener. Yes. Today we're talking about emotional regulation, how to stay calm when emotions run wild. That's it. We've all been there. We've all been there. Yes, the meeting that turns tense, the disagreement with someone, a family member, right? Someone you care about, the unexpected curveball that leaves us feeling overwhelmed, anxious, and even ready to explode, right? Emotions, they are a part of our life. They are a part of being human. They are not the enemy. I need to be clear when I say this. They are not the enemy. But how we manage our emotions, how we manage them can make or break our relationship. They can make or break our decision-making. And even make or break our health. Yep, I'm serious. So today we're going to talk about how to navigate these intense feelings. You know, they come up out of the blue, right? Or they're triggered when you're in a conversation. So we're going to navigate these intense feelings instead of letting them navigate us. So why does emotional regulation matter so much, especially for women? Why is that? Because research shows that women often face greater expectations to keep it all together emotionally. Yet, we're also navigating a world that throws constant emotional challenges at us. Boom, 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 right? We're ducking and we're diving, trying to make sure we can manage all of this. See, we don't regulate our emotions well. That is, when we don't, we might react impulsively. We may say things we will regret or internalize stress that affects our mental and physical health. Not to mention, if you're a leader, right, it will impact your leadership. But when we do regulate our emotions, when we do, see, this is what happens. We respond instead of react. That's it. We respond instead of react. We show up as grounded leaders, clear thinkers, and compassionate communicators. Emotional regulation is a skill. And just like any skill, it can be learned and strengthened. We build on this thing. You know, I say this all the time, as I'm thinking of emotional regulation being a skill, I also, and I said this before, listening is a skill. It's a difference between listening and hearing. But anyway, it's a skill. Hearing is a sense. Listening is a skill that we have to work on and that can be strengthened over time. And so we're talking about emotional regulations and regulation, that is. And here's the most beautiful part. Once you master your emotions, once you master them, once you master regulating them, you're not just controlling your emotion, you are reclaiming your power. So don't get it twisted. All right, to help us today unpack this, it can be challenging or and depending on who's listening and who's dealing with it or managing their emotions or not managing their emotions, that is, it can be a challenging topic. So today, I'm joined with an amazing guest who clearly knows how to regulate their emotions, right? They're clear. Our guest today is an expert at staying calm, especially when emotions run wild. So I am so excited for this conversation, and I'm so excited to tell you about our guest. Oh, my goodness, you guys. So we're now at that part where I get to introduce you to a phenomenal guest, right? And you guys will always hear me say that because all of our guests are phenomenal because they're coming and they're sharing and they have a lot to share. They're giving value. And so as far as I'm concerned, all of my guests that I get to introduce here are phenomenal. So wait, you guys, wait. I got somebody for you. Wait, wait, wait. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So our guest for today's show is an author, trainer, consultant, educator who brings over 25 years of expertise to her partnership with organizations seeking to elevate their mission through impactful communication and leadership development. Her work is rooted in a deep commitment to helping individuals and teams communicate effectively, build strong relationships, and achieve sustainable growth. Woo-woo! Wait, as the author and self-publisher of the series Mind Jukebox, a mental playlist for inclusive leaders, volumes 1-3. Our guest blends music and leadership insights to help individuals shape their inner narratives. Each chapter pairs a thoughtfully selected song with a leadership tip, offering readers a unique and engaging way to enhance their communication and leadership skills. Our guest firmly believes in the transformative power of perspective as reflected in her philosophy. If you change the way you look at things, the thing you look at will change, quote, unquote. Through her work, she empowers organizations to embrace the mindset, unlocking their potential for lasting success and positive impact. Please put your hands together and help me to warmly, warmly invite and welcome Dr. Christine Herring to the You Are You Unapologetically podcast. Welcome, 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 welcome. Here she is. There you go. Yay! Welcome, my love. I am so glad to have you here. Thank you so much for saying yes to being on our podcast, where it's your voice, right, that we want you to share. And so thank you again. We all know, listeners know, that our topic today is emotional regulation, how to stay calm when emotions run wild. And so before we jump into that topic, please take a moment, Christine, and share with our listeners, with our audience, how we met.
Dr. Kim, your energy attracted me to you. That's how we met. I was like, if I don't meet anybody else here at this conference, I was at the Enterprising Women Conference where I was an honoree.
Yes.
And I was like, if I don't meet anyone else, I got to meet Dr. Kim. I got to meet that lady over there that's emanating all that positive energy. I believe strongly in energy. And when I enter a room, I determine who I'm going to connect with from the energy I'm receiving. And your energy, and I told you when we met, I told you.
Yep, you did.
I was attracted to you from the energy that I was receiving. And you were all the way on the other room. And I was like, who is that? I had to meet her.
Oh, you're so, thank you, my love. And when I met Christine and I laid eyes on her, the first thing I was like, oh my goodness, you are so gorgeous. Like, oh, and your chocolate and you're just scrumped. It's like, I can bite into you. Like, right? Like, and this is what I said to her because I was attracted to her as well. Her beauty, of course. But not only that, her inner, you know, her energy, but her beauty like caught my attention first before I even said anything, you know? And so I just want to honor that because you're some good eye candy. I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying. Wait, and then I got to meet her husband, you guys. Her husband was at the conference. And when I finally got to meet him, I told him the same thing. I was like, you got a nice piece of eye candy there. And he just blushed and said, thank you. But that's how we met. That's how we met. It was a conference we both were attending. So I love my guests to share how we met, how the connection came. Because one of the things that I know, at least for me, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that God put people on our path for a reason and some people for seasons. And so with that, I am so grateful that our paths crossed and that, you know, we're in each other's lives and space, right? And so how about we jump into our discussion today, right? Let's do that. Are you ready for that? I know you are getting ready. All right. So to get us started, can you just share with our listeners, what does emotional regulation mean to you, right? What does that mean? And then tell us why it's critical for women.
So when you told me that this was the topic, I was like, no way, because you talked in my bio about my book series. And one of the tracks is keep the safety on your emotional trigger. And I have a whole talk around what that means. And so when I'm referring to emotional triggers or emotional regulation, because in order to have to regulate your emotions, there's been something to trigger them to create that need to regulate them, right? And so when I'm referring to emotional triggers, I'm referring to those moments that spark strong reaction. And those reactions are brought about because they tap into either past pain or some type of personal sensitivity, right? But what happens is when they're tapping into that past pain or that emotional sensitivity, our response to whatever is taking place is bigger than the situation. And so if you're not regulating your emotional triggers, then you're responding in a way that's going to impact your leadership ability, your relationships, your decision-making. And for women, it is so important because we are emotional beings. Like we connect with people on an emotional level. Not that we have that, you know, I talk about the intersectionality of pragmatism, logic, and emotion and how we have to be conscientious of intersecting the two, but we lean towards that emotional piece. And it wasn't until I really started to understand exactly why there were certain things that caused me to overreact, that it wasn't the situation or the person in front of me. It was some past pain, something that I hadn't dealt with that was creating that dysregulation.
Wow. No, I love it. And so as you're speaking, you're saying two words, and I just want to emphasize or share this. You're talking about reaction and you're talking about response. And one of the things that I've learned with me is that a reaction is immediate. Response takes time. And so I'm saying that to say, as I hear you speaking, I hear you speaking more on reaction, right? And the fact that you said how we react is bigger than whatever the situation is or whatever caused, you know, not to say what caused the trigger, but it's the reaction that takes our emotions or calls our emotions to spiral even more out of control.
And I was going to say, I love those two words because you're right. The trigger is the reaction. The regulation is the response.
Come on, come on, come on.
So when you're learning to regulate your emotions, you're learning how to respond to the situation and not react to the situation. And while it sounds so simple, and it is simple,
yeah,
it takes practice.
Yes.
Because we are emotional beings. And if you've spent a lifetime of reacting, that idea of now responding takes extra steps. And sometimes there are things that have happened in our past that prevent us from being able to respond. And now we might need some help. We might need some therapy. We might need to have somebody help us, hold us accountable. We might even need to take medicine. I am not ashamed to say that I have anxiety. And sometimes regulating my emotions and not reacting was not something that I could do well without some medication to help me be able to balance those chemicals within me to be able to do that. And so I always, when I'm training and I'm talking about this particular, you know, keep the safety on your emotional triggers, I never want to diminish the fact that while it sounds easy, and for some it is easy, for others it does take a little bit more work.
Yeah, it does. And when we talk about work, I hear self-work, right? I hear, because it starts with us first. Like, and but not only that, there's a one of the things that I learned about self-work, and in particularly self-work on me as I was going through, I had to be willing to do the work. Right. It's a willing part of me recognizing, like, you know, this, I need to be able to do this. I need to want to do this. I need to not want to keep, you know, reacting or, you know, popping off, as some of the young people say. And I say, you know, the younger generation calls it popping off. And just to have someone say, hey, I need to manage that, but being able to work on it. And so you indicated work, like that what you said, it's going to take some work. So can you share what that work looked like? What might it look like for someone who is maybe hearing this for the very first time, who, just like you said, have not been able to regulate, right? Or their safety is not on their emotional triggers. You see what I'm saying? It's off. So please share.
So I think that first thing is you have to understand them. So you have to understand them in order to respond with clarity and understand not just, well, you have to understand them, but you have to understand what's happening, especially when you're under pressure. Because when you're, so it's about naming it. It's important to name it, because you can't tame it if you don't name it, right? So you got to be able to name it. And then I also think an important thing, and I believe that when we're working on something new, you want to take a bite size. Like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Like, it's like, you can't think that you're going to hear some information today and tomorrow you're going to have it mastered. It takes time. And so the thing, after naming it so you can tame it, I think that you have to understand that the emotional triggers are beyond our control, but our responses are not. And that's the work you're talking about.
I need you to say that one more time. Please say it one more time.
The triggers are beyond our control, but our responses are not. So we might be used to responding one way unintentionally, just like you said, popping off. But when we put some intention behind it and we say, all right, I'm going to have some control over this, that's a little different. And I'll share just a quick example. When I first started my business, when my husband would give me feedback, I would become really sensitive and I would get upset. And I realized that that defensiveness, that shutting down, that we'd be having a great time. And then all of a sudden he'd say, okay, you know what I was thinking? You know, I heard when you were talking the last time, you know, maybe you might want to think about this or whatever it was. You know, all of a sudden I took it personal, like he was attacking me, and I would be, my response would be fine. And fine became a four-letter word in our house. He was like, you're saying fine, but it really ain't fine. I know it ain't fine. And so I want to know what it is. But what I understood, what I started to understand is that I wasn't responding to the man in front of me. My trigger was rooted in criticism and being undervalued by my dad.
Come on now.
And so I was reacting to an old wound, not to the man in front of me. So when he would say what he was saying out of love and everything, I was hearing this old record that was playing in my head. And I, yes, that head trash. And I was like getting all upset. And I had, once I recognized though, name it and tame it, understanding that I had control over my response, I could stop rehearsing that old pain and start responding to the man that was in front of me trying to help me.
That part. Yes. Oh my gosh. That is such a vivid example. And I truly, truly appreciate that. And so there are some tools and some practices that you use to remain calm under pressure. Please share that.
In addition to naming it to tame it, I do a body check. Because when we are being emotionally triggered, something happens in our body that physical state can predict. For me, I start to have a hot flash. I get a little bit warm. You know, it might also be that your jaw clenches.
Yes.
Right? Your shoulders might get tight, or you might shrug them up. There's something, and everybody got their own tales. So you want to, the next time you feel yourself being dysregulated with your emotions, take a quick body scan. What is happening in your body? And when you can recognize that, then you can pause and reframe and then respond.
Yes, I love that. Because in having conversations with people to help them manage their emotions, it was, you know, they would share, oh, my back would ache, or I'll get a headache, right? Or they would recognize some form of pain in their body that would show up when they either have anxiety, right? Or when they are triggered. So that's so on point, so on point. And I appreciate that. One of the things that I wanted to ask, because we're talking about emotional regulation and leadership. So please share, how do they intersect?
Oh, you can't lead in a way that's transformative, in a way that's supportive of people, if you don't recognize your own emotional triggers or dysregulation. Because if you're the leader, people are looking to you in moments of crises or pressure or deadlines. They're looking to you to be regulated themselves. So if you're regulated, you're setting the tone, then that's going to create, you know, they say culture, and the culture starts at the top.
Yes.
And so the leader is the person that sets the tone for the culture. And so I have found that, and I try to keep it simple. That's why, like I said, something simple as name it, tame it. What are some of the things that have happened or that are in your life that can create, like maybe, you know, when you're out as a leader, there's a person in your space that triggers you. You got to get under there. What's the root cause of that? That person might remind you of something. They may do something that has caused you deep pain or whatever. You got to figure out what it is. Then you got to be able to deal with it. Have a conversation. As a leader, we have to be bigger than the situation so that we can handle the situation. And then that the idea of pause, reframe, and then respond. When you pause, you're taking that deep, as someone who's leading an organization or leading a team, you don't want to just answer right away because you might not be in the right frame of mind to answer. And so maybe somebody has missed the deadline for the umpteenth time and you're just ticked off. Take that pause. Think about how do you reframe it instead of thinking, man, they ain't never on time. They'll never do anything right. I can't depend on them. Maybe the thought is, what do they need? What are they going through? What's happening in their life? Why are they missing every deadline? Do they have too much responsibility? So now you're reframing it. Then the response is to sit down and have a conversation. How can I support you so that you don't miss the next deadline? Let's talk about your workflow. Let's talk about what caused this. At what point should you have gotten help? Let's take a look at the whole situation instead before we go up the ladder and start telling ourselves a story.
Exactly. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. And especially the story that we create, because as human beings, we are so good at creating a story. When someone look at you, and they may not even be paying attention to you, but it looks as if from, you know, our perspective or my perspective, someone's looking at me or they're cutting their eyes at me, but they're probably looking beyond me. But I create a story, and we do that. I create a story. So here, I wanted to ask you, because you were your example was from a leader perspective of someone in maybe on their team, maybe a subordinate. But what if the role is reversed, where you have a leader or supervisor or manager or whatever, someone in that lead position that they don't know they're triggered, but they're intimidated by you because you tend to manage yours. And so because they're not regulating their emotions, but they recognize and they don't really see you doing it, but the way you show up, right, is that you're not reacting, you're responding. But yet this person now has a thing out for you, right? Because, you know, I always say to people will push your buttons when they see them. It's just like going to an elevator, right? How do you beckon that elevator and tell that elevator, hey, I want you to come down to the first floor? You push the button. And then when you get on the elevator, we litany of floors, right? A litany of buttons. Then you push the button to the one that you want. And so we get the elevator to react to us or respond or do what we want it to do. And so sometimes as human beings, we tend to do that, right? Especially people who are intimidated by other people and they don't know how to manage their emotions, but yet they now see, okay, I'm gonna make this person's life miserable. How can we give, or what advice can you give someone who is listening to this podcast or even watching it, and they get exactly what you're saying, but they're not the ones that are being, right, triggered. They are the ones who are triggering, not intentionally, but the person who's being triggered by them don't know how to regulate. So what can you say to that person?
Dr. Kim, that's a tough one, because for me, and I've had to understand, see, first of all, with me, it's dignity and respect.
Come on.
You are going to respect me. And I am not going, I remember on several of my jobs in my past, you know, before I started running my own business, people would say, oh, we can't do that. We'll get in trouble. And I would stop and say, get in trouble? Like, I'm a grown up.
Right.
I don't even get in trouble from my parents anymore. How is someone that I work, whether I work for you or not, you're still a colleague, going to get me in trouble? And so what I say to someone who is dealing with a situation like that is that you have to find your courage to have a conversation. Because most of the time, if that's happening, there's some level of disrespect. Nobody should be in a space where someone is hollering at you, demeaning you, putting you down. And I've said, I've not always been very savvy at the onset, because I would walk out of the place. If you're disrespecting me, I would say, and at that time, like I said, it was not the best thing to do to walk off a job when you didn't have another one lined up. But I also know that I serve a God that always had my back.
That part right there.
Right. But my faith might be stronger than someone else's faith. So what I told my children is, you always have a plan B, no matter what. You always have a plan B. You know when a situation is not good for you,
yeah,
before it gets to a point that you can't take it. So when the situation starts to reveal itself, when you start feeling those, because just because your emotions are regulated, when someone is interacting with you that's in a power dynamic and their emotions aren't regulated, you feel it. You feel it in your jaw because you're refraining from saying some things you might want to say. You feel it in your shoulders, your body. You're going home at night. You might have headaches. You have silently quit. When you start, those things start to happen, that means several things. Either you're going to try to have a conversation, which in some cases, you'll know right away if that's going to work or not. You're going to have a conversation. You're going to stand to demand your dignity and your respect. But then you're working on your plan B. Because if that's a space that's allowing that, that's not a space that you should be in. And there are plenty of spaces out here. We just have to be willing to put ourselves out there and go get them and not wait until it gets to the point that it's so bad.
Right. No, I got it. I got it. So thank you so much for that. And I just want to on that indicate what's out of my control. Like if it's out of my control, the way you perceive me, what you look at me, how you think of me, all of that is out of my control. I have no control over that. And so because I don't have any control of it, I'm not trying to control it. So and what I mean by that is I can't control how you think of me. I can't. What I can do is do certain things, say certain to help persuade you otherwise. But if that's not working, right, it's like you said, it's time for plan B. It's time for plan B.
I have found that the challenge is sometimes is that we feel like someone is our supervisor, so they have permission to do that. And nobody should ever be given permission to disrespect you. And what I have found with my children, my three adult daughters, and in my life experiences, is that when you stand on principle and you tell someone, you know what, I don't know if you're having a bad day today. I'm not sure. Is everything okay? Because your tone is bordering disrespect, and I'm not disrespecting you. And so I'm not going to receive disrespect from you. Most of the time, people who are like that, they'll do it to everybody else, but they won't do it to you.
Yeah, because you check.
Because you let them know. And I've been in places where they're like, how can you stand to be with that person? They do. And I was like, that's not been my experience, but they know that's not the way you're going to come at me because I'm not going to receive it.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We can talk forever and ever here. Oh my goodness. I'm just loving this so, so much. So let me ask you this question. What advice would you give to someone struggling? Like they're struggling, they're popping on every time you turn around, struggling to manage their emotion, their emotional reaction. Like what advice would you give that person?
One thing I would tell them is that you can be in a storm without becoming the storm.
Say that again, please. Oh my goodness. Please say that again.
You can be in a storm without becoming the storm. And I have a quote that it's by Viktor Frankl. And it's something like between stimulus, so what's happening, and response is a space. And in that space is your power to choose.
Oh, I love it.
Your response. And so if this is a person out there that's struggling, like you said, given a whole lot of stuff is not going to work. They're not going to remember because when it's happening and emotions are high, you're not going to remember all of that. But you can remember this. You can remember there is power in the pause. Pause. So whether you started going down and you going through that, this right, stop. Pause. Take a few deep breaths. Put it in the parking lot. Step away from it. Step away from the person. Step away from your computer. Whatever it is, stop. That's simple. You can pause and give yourself some chance to take the chance to breathe and calm yourself down. Just practice that. You're pausing. That's it.
Yes. I love it. Oh my goodness. Dr. Christine, thank you so much. Oh, this has been so juicy and so informative and so much value, so, so much value. Thank you so much. Here's what I would love for you to do at this moment. please take a moment and please share with our listeners, how can they connect with you? Because you poured into us today. And I want, if someone is listening and they're like, oh my gosh, how can I connect with her? Like, please share. How can someone who's listening onto this podcast connect with you? Like, whatever, your website, email, how, just share, please.
So my website is hearingseminars.com. And on my website, you can find information about how to purchase my books. I'm also doing a wellness retreat in October. So if there's anybody out there that is interested in taking a pause and getting your cup filled, we're going to talk about during the retreat how to not give from your cup, but fill your cup so that you have overflow. And that's where you're giving from, the overflow. So hearingseminars.com is how you can find out all that information. I'm on LinkedIn, Dr. Christine Hearing, and my email is christine@hearingseminars.com.
Can you share a little more detail about your retreat or a link or the date because of the time? Can you share a little bit more of that?
Yes. So the retreat is in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. It's going to be October the 14th through the 17th, and it is a wellness retreat for women where we're going to be pouring into ourselves and just taking that time to understand as women leaders, emotional triggers and, you know, how to take that intentional pause. As women, we don't do it. We take care of everyone else, but we forget to take care of ourselves. Or let me put it like this. We forget to prioritize ourselves. And so we're going to be talking about why it's important to prioritize yourself and how it contributes to the way you show up. So if you go to hearingseminars.com, at the top, there's a tab for retreat. All the information is there, how to pay, everything. So, and if you have any questions or, you know, just want to talk about it, don't let anything keep you from participating without having a conversation first.
That part right there. Oh my gosh. And so thank you so much for your time. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for opening us up and pouring in us and allowing us to absorb all that you have. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We truly appreciate all the insights that you shared. And thank you for the information about your retreat.
And thank you, Dr. Kim. This has been so much fun. I could keep going on and on. This is just like us sitting here having a conversation, drinking our tea. And yes, this was amazing. Thank you for asking me.
You're welcome. And so that means I will invite you back. You are welcome back. So we will definitely do this again and again and again. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
You're welcome. Okay, you guys. So we want to say thank you for, again, to Dr. Christine Hearing. What an amazing message. And just take a deep breath, feel what you feel, and I'll be back. So I'm back. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Christine Hearing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So what I want to do, oh, it was so amazing, that segment. And so I'm just so excited for, like I said, for the conversation that she came and that she was our guest. So, so excited. But I want to also share a little bit of wisdom on the topic as well, right? So as Dr. Christine stated, when we talk about emotional regulation, we're talking about the ability to manage and respond to our emotional experiences in a way that's healthy and effective. It's not about suppressing emotions or pretending they don't exist. It's about, and she said it and I love it, wait. It's about acknowledging them, processing them, and deciding how to respond. Notice I didn't say react, how to respond. Dr. Christine, she shared her expertise and her experience on what does emotional regulation look like in real life, right? And oh, she just gave us so much to go on. And I'm so glad that she was here. Because so often we try to push away or push our emotions away, thinking that strength, oh, I'm being strong, I'm not going to deal with this emotion. When actually, strength is feeling the emotion. That's what strength is, feeling the emotion when it comes up, but not letting it or allowing it to control you. That's what strength is. So for some of us, it's criticism, whether at work or at home. For others, it's feeling ignored, dismissed, or disrespected. And Dr. Christine spoke about that as well. Sometimes it's even physical. The lack of sleep, hunger, or chronic stress can make us far more reactive and less responsive. So let's get practical, right? Dr. Christine said one of the first steps to regulating your emotions is actually recognizing what set them off, right? But she said, name it to tame it, recognizing them, right? We need to identify the emotion, our emotional triggers before we explode. This is what we need to do. So I love that she shared with us, name it or tame it. I think I'm going to use that more often because it's clear and concise and it's simple. Keeping an emotional journal for a day or two or even a week can reveal some patterns that you might miss otherwise. So that's something that I want to add because, you know, we're naming them, we're taming, you know, to tame them, but let's keep a journal. So not only that, so you can identify some patterns. And once you see the pattern, you can prepare for it instead of being blindsided by it. Okay. So let me remind our listeners of some of the tools, right, that was discussed earlier in the session, because when emotions run high, we need more than just calm down, right? And I get it because, you know, just the word alone, calm down, to me, when someone says it to me, it triggers me, right? And let me just say that I have been saying that to my husband, and he said to me, why is it okay for you to tell me calm down? And if I say it to you, it triggers you, right? He was being real with it. And so I said, let me handle that, right? So because when your emotions run high, we need more than just calm down. We need strategies that work in the moment. Strategies that's going to work for us right there in the moment when we're present to the emotion that is running wild, right? So here are some powerful ones. And just reiterating some of the things that Dr. Christine said, breathing technique, like box breathing to slow your heart rate. Oh, she said this. She said, pause, just pause, right? And I'm saying, just stop, right? Just pause. So she said, pause and breathe. Oh, I love to do that. And I find myself doing that sometimes as well, where I just have to say, let me just stop. And let me just breathe, right? So pausing before responding, even, you know, a 5-second pause can shift the outcome. I know, pausing or that silence may feel awkward, but believe me, it works. Believe me, it works. Another is grounding exercises. One of the things that I like to do is to make sure, you know, both of my feet are on the ground. So if I'm sitting in a chair and I'm having a conversation, I put both feet on the ground so I'm grounded. And then I focus on my senses. I focus on not on my feelings, right, in the sense, because sometimes they're there, but I don't want to put all my focus on my feelings. I want to help use my senses, my hearing, my seeing, all of that to bring me back focus or to bring me present to the moment. And so I personally, like I said, use the pause and the breathing technique in high stress situations. And like I said, it's a game changer. It is definitely a game changer. So the key to this, the key to practicing these tools is to use them when you're not stressed. That's the key, when you're not stressed, so that they become second nature to you. And so there are times throughout the day when I just feel I just need to stop. I just need to stop and take in the moment, take in what's going on in the moment, And there may not be anything. I just probably have a lot going on, a lot of head chatter, a lot of things going on. I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to be there. And sometimes it just requires me just to stop, right? And then I can focus on my senses. I can breathe. And that helps. So again, doing these things when there isn't a stressful moment or when you're not stressful will allow these tools to become second nature to you. Emotional regulation, that it here's what it's not. It isn't just about crisis in the moment, right? Or crisis moments. It's also about building a lifestyle that supports emotional resilience. And so what is this going to do? It's going to help you in those times when you're triggered and you're out in public and you're triggered and you didn't even see it coming. And you're like, whoa, because somebody said something to you or they did something, you know, disrespectful but you didn't see it coming. And so again, when you practice these things, they become second nature. But also emotional regulation is about regular self-care, right? Like you managing the self-care of yourself, right? Making sure that you're resting, not just, okay, I need to go to sleep, but you're pausing and you're stopping and you're just resting and you're being still and you're being silent, right? Regular self-care. Some of us have hobbies that we want, that we like, and it takes away the stress, okay? Healthy boundaries, protecting your time and energy. I had to learn that the hard way. So one of the things that I always hear about me, and our guest said it today, Dr. Christine, is my energy. Oh, your energy. I hear it all the time. And I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. I really know that this is a gift of mine and from God, to be honest. And so one of the things that I had to do was I had to learn how to manage my energy, protect my energy, protect my time. So that's a healthy boundary for me as well, because there are, you know, what I realized there are energy sappers and energy stealers, right? And as well as time. So I protect those by having healthy boundaries and a support system. A support system in surrounding myself with people who can help me regulate my emotions and not those people who help me to escalate or explode. Escalate my emotions or explode. Just want to be clear. I just want to be clear. Okay. This conversation, like I said, has been so rich. A really rich conversation that I want to share some of the key takeaways that I took away, and I want to make sure that you can have these takeaways. One, emotional regulation is not suppression. Mm-mm. It's not run away from it. Don't deal with your emotions. It's skillful management of your emotional responses. That's what it is. Skillful management of your emotional response. Two, knowing your triggers. Knowing your triggers. It gives you the power to prepare and not just react. It allows you to respond. See, when we talk about reacting, it's immediate. When we talk about responding, it takes time. A response takes time. And just like Dr. Christine said, name it to tame it. Like, we want to tame it. So you make sure you name it. Tools like mindful breathing, pausing and grounding can help you stay calm in the heat of the moment. I kid you not. Oh my goodness. Oh, and that's number three, using tools. But in the heat of the moment, when you just not only exhale, but breathe, it helps. I'm telling you. Four, long-term habits such as self-care, putting boundaries in place, and having a strong support system to build emotional resilience over time. When you're around people who can regulate their emotions and they're not what we can call popping off, like I said it early, popping off, they're not just coming at you sideways all the time, this helped tremendously, I'm telling you. Remember this. emotions are not a weakness. Mm-mm. It's not a weakness. They're a part of your power. They're a part of my power. And the more we learn to regulate them, the more we can lead, the more we can connect, and the more we can create without losing ourselves in the process. Do I need to say that again? I think I do. Okay. Emotions are not weakness. It's not our weakness. They are part of our power. And the more we know how to regulate our emotions, the more we can lead, the more we can connect with people, the more we can create. Our creativity juices are flowing without losing yourself in the process. So before I close, I can't leave without providing some action steps, right? We always give action steps. And so here are a few for you to do, and you can start today. Keep an emotional journal. Try it for a couple of days. Try it for a week so that you can spot your triggers and see if there's a pattern. Remember the term, name it to tame it. Name it to tame it, right? Thank you, Dr. Christine, for that. Practice one calming technique. One calming technique daily, right? So practice something daily, such as breathing, a simple pause, right? Just stop when you're not stressed. Right? Do these things when you're not stressed. And then identify at least one boundary you can strengthen this week to protect your emotional space, that is. Who do you no longer need to be around, right? I'm just saying, do you need to find another job because your employer is too tense and or the environment is too toxic? Come on, work with me here, right? So let's put some of these action steps in play and let's start today. Promise? Because with society's rigid expectations and endless opinions, self-expression and self-appreciation can feel challenging and daunting. To say the least. Most of the time, and just like I said before, this pushes you, me, us to dumb down. Act like, oh no, we good. Like nothing changed. Like everything is all right. Hide what is really going on the inside of us. And we do that and just, okay, I'm going to just go with the flow. But I need to remind you, and I do this at every episode that we publish or broadcast. You are you. Unapologetically. And that means being true to how you were created, and not allowing people's opinions to affect how you show up in life. Don't allow their opinions to affect how you show up at work, how you show up right at school, how you show up with your mother, your father, your siblings, right? Your spouse, because you have no time to be intimidated by the presence of others and think little of yourself. No time whatsoever. Time's gone. Time's up. When you show up without pretense and hesitation, the world can't dull your glamour. I dare you to try. I dare you to try it, right? And most importantly, when you show up without pretense and hesitation, you will be inspired to shine your light and share it so that you can help others to tap into their own brilliance so they can see their own light. That's what I'm talking about. So together, let's put an end to this disparaging mindset and begin to own our own authentic self. You begin to own your authentic self and join me here in a safe space where I always initiate influential conversations about you being you. That's what I do. You being you. Why? Because you are you unapologetically, and no one, absolutely no one, is better at being you than you. No one. So thank you so much again and again, Dr. Christine Herring, for joining us and sharing your wisdom. We are so grateful. We are blessed because you were here. And thank you, listeners. Thank you for showing up day after day, episode after episode. Thank you for showing up on this podcast. But most of all, I want to thank you for showing up for yourself today. Now, let me say this. If this episode resonates with you, share it. Do the obvious. Share it with another person. Share it with another woman. Share it with someone who you may know that is popping off with someone who can use these tools. Remember, you are you unapologetically, and your emotions are part of that truth. So own that truth. Own who you are. Until next time, take care of yourself. Honor your emotions and keep stepping into your power. Keep being you unapologetically. Ciao, ciao for now. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. May this transformational discussion shift your mindset so you can live in possibility, so you can step higher in your greatness and stand bolder in your brilliance. Do not wait another minute. Start now to uncover your greatness and begin to fall madly in love with you. The journey to unleashing and owning your true self doesn't end here. Be sure to subscribe to the show at kimrgrimes.com. Leave a rating and gear up for more conversations like this one. See you on the next episode. And remember, you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically.